Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Don't even explain that. I'm going to explain it a little bit just for the sake of some people that, you know, might not understand. You know, if we don't believe in this God, then what are we even doing here? What, you know what I mean? Why do we even come? Why do we even show up? Why do we even continue? God isn't just a God who is God in theory, or a God, you know, that we talk about. But God is real, and His presence is real, and God wants us to experience that presence. Now, it doesn't mean that we spend a lot of time in goofiness and, you know, just trying to be uber spiritual and stuff. But, you know, I'll just tell you, I wasn't feeling particularly spiritual as I came into church today. But that doesn't necessarily stop God from doing what He wants to do. Amen. And, you know, God was here, I believe He still is. I believe Jesus came into the service, as I said. I believe that with all my heart. You know, and there'd be some people that'd be critical of that. Well, maybe not, but, you know, believe what you want to believe. I don't really care, because I know what I was seeing. I know what I was experiencing. And the Lord was showing me some things. Unfortunately, I couldn't get into that fully, and I don't think now was the time or the place to do that. And I guess that's my job to continue, you know. The thing about walking in faith is that you do that, just that. You step out in faith, and sometimes you're going to do things. Sometimes you follow the leading of the Lord, not knowing where it's taking you, or not knowing what to do with it. Amen. God will show you things, and you've not seen that thing before. And you know, for me, that's it can be both a frightening thing, but it's also an exciting thing. It's frightening in the sense when you're standing front of a group of people and you know you're about to minister to, you know, you want to make sure you're doing what's best, because obviously I'm here to do what's best, you know, to be a good pastor and stuff like that. But at the same time, I want to do what God wants to do. And to tell you the truth, when something starts happening, when you start experiencing something spiritually, the natural things really don't seem as important anymore. And you know, as I was approaching that, I literally, if I could explain the feeling, it was like I was starting to step over into something, and I wanted to go, but I knew I needed to be here too. And I don't know if I just fell down. Maybe my wife would have just picked up and took the service over. But you know, I want more of God, amen. And I want God on an experiential level, amen. I want people to know Him and experience Him. Praise the Lord. And we will, you know, but that's why we do this thing, right? That's why we do it, because we're proving that God, you know, I have had way more enough in my life. This is why I kind of am the way I am when I'm bold about certain things, the way I feel about it, if you hear me knocking something and I just, you know, I just kind of trample right over something because I'm just tired of it. You know, I've just had enough of being like, I've just had enough of carnality in life. You know what I'm saying? I've just had enough of it. Like, I know I fall into the trap too sometimes, but what I'm saying is I've just had enough of the things that the world has to offer, because it's just not God. It's just not, and when it's not God, it's just not good, you know? God is so much more fulfilling, and I want people to know God. I want people to know Him on a level like you can't know, like you've never known before, amen? And I believe that we're a church that does that, continues to do that, and we're walking the plan of God out, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, Father, I hope I'm right in going forward. I sense that that's what you were saying to me, is to go on and close that door. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. Today's message is called Close That Door. Hallelujah. And today we're going to be talking about, you know, little areas in life that we have, that we leave open. You know, the Bible is very clear about it, that there's things that we can do that bless us, that cause blessing in our life, but there's also things that we can do that can hinder the blessing in our life. And we don't want to be people that are constantly leaving that door open, because we want the blessing of God to flow. Now, I'm going to preface this whole message by saying this. You don't have to be perfect. And so don't feel like I'm trying to say that you have to be perfect. It's not that. You just have to have the right heart, and you have to be after the right things. Amen? And but there is a natural level to things that, you know, there's a natural level to sometimes we just got to put down things. Sometimes we just got to decide to jump all in. Amen. You know, I was really on my heart this morning. This is what I was thinking about. I see this a lot in the church. I've seen people come into church and they're believing for other people in their family. It's really important to them, or so they say, that these other people come in. But then, you know, every opportunity that they get to be wishy-washy about church, they do that. People take a whole month off of church and not even think about it, and they'll do it for frivolous reasons. You know, if you are not going to stand before God and tell him that you were just too busy, he's not going to want to hear it. But when you want God, you're not going to want to hear that he's too busy, are you? And that's what we have to understand. People in our lives are watching everything we do, and everything that we compromise is another reason for them to say, you know what, I don't want that garbage. Why do I want that? You know what I mean? I've seen people who talk about, my wife, was it you that said this? Was it last week or something? You were talking about the people that are unsaved around you, and people are just letting them be. And it's like, wait a minute here. If you let the unsaved be, they're going to be exactly what they are, and that's unsaved. Unsaved people do not want to come to church. You've got to convince them to come to church. It was you that said that. An atheist is never going to come to church unless you invite them over and over and over, unless you give them reason. When you're looking at somebody who is not a churchgoer, they aren't going to go unless you present to them a reason to come. And when you just say, well, you know, just come on your... No, it's not come on your time, because guess what? Their time might end next Tuesday. Their time might end the next 5 minutes. You don't know when their time's going to end. How would you feel if somebody that you were witnessing to, somebody that you loved, never went to heaven because you never said what you were supposed to say? We don't want to be lax about it. Now listen, I am not talking about getting up in your face and screaming at people and stuff like that. We have to use tact. But listen, people, we have to be serious. If we're not serious about our faith, then nobody else is going to be serious about it either. Amen? Nobody else is going to. And this is what I learned. This is why I do what I do. Because I learned what will be or what won't be according to what I do or don't do. Amen? There's whole groups of people that won't come to know the Lord unless I'm faithful to do that. And we're talking first and foremost with people that we love, people that we care about. Amen? Praise the Lord. But as we're wishy-washy, as we, you know, and when they see us, when we're the people that will skip church for a picnic, or they'll, you know what I mean, or we'll, or a bunch of picnics, or we'll just have so many things going on that we're just not at church. Everybody who's unsaved that's around us is watching that. Everybody that you've been witnessing to looks at that and says, you're a fool. That's exactly what they say. See, your faith isn't worth anything. If you can do it whenever you want it, or whenever it's important to you, then why can't I do it whenever I want to? Why do I need to come at all? Why can't I just have God at home? Amen? This is the way it is. Praise the Lord. Well, we're not talking about that, but that's free, no charge. Hallelujah. But we are talking about it in a sense, we're talking about closing the door. We need to close as many doors. You know, when there's a storm, you know, one of the first things that people often think about is, did I leave the windows open? Amen? About did I leave my house windows open? And we've done that before. And you come in and the carpet, the floor is wet, everything, because you left too many windows open. Well, you know, if you do that too much and too often and there's a lot of storms, you're eventually going to ruin your house, you know what I mean? Or your car or whatever. I mean, once in a while, it's not going to be such a big thing. But see, what we do is, when we know that a storm's coming, generally what we do is we go through and we close every window and door that we think about. I mean, it's one of those things in the middle of the night. I've gotten up in the middle of the night because I've heard the thunder and the light and seen the lightning flashing and hear the rain coming. And I go up and I go close windows in the middle of the night. And I'm not a person that moves in the middle of the night. Amen. But, you know, we do things like that because we know that it's important. But see, the same thing goes with our spiritual life. There's doors and windows that we leave open sometimes. And that's where the devil uses. And we're going to see that here today. Let's start in Ephesians 4:27. But I want to read it in the Amplified. Praise God. So we'll put it up here. It says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity for him or to him. See, this is the thing that a lot of people, this scripture is really eye-opening. Because, you know, there's so much in the scripture that we learn is based on our actions or what we do or what we decide or what we believe or what we see. It's all according to our faith. Praise the Lord. But see, we can leave doors open that allow the devil, or we can give the devil a foothold in our life that he can come wreak havoc in our life. If we don't learn what those doors are, we don't close them, then we're going to be in big trouble. Amen? And God, the Bible tells us that we are to leave. This is an action, kind of a call to action kind of verse, amen. It says, basically, you could put you in front of there and say, you leave, no room or foothold for the devil. See, so often, and I'll repeat this, so often, people are going to God and they're praying to God, Lord, take this away from me. And the problem is they're the ones leaving the door open. Amen? It doesn't matter. You can go to God all you want and say, take this away from me. He is not going to take it away from you if you are leaving the door open. God can't stop. Now, see, the thing is people go to God, first of all, to pray to God to take that away from them isn't right. Isn't necessarily right. Because God didn't cause it in the first place. This is what we have to understand. People, you know, they try to quote Jesus. Jesus said, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Well, what was he saying? Because he knew that it was the will of God that he go through this. Jesus knew that. He knew that that was what, so because he knew it was the will of God, he had to go, he was going to the Father and saying, Lord, let your will change in this situation. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so what Jesus was saying is, I'll get my will in line with your will. So that is not an appropriate prayer to pray when we need something to change. It's not appropriate because it's not God's will that we, if you're in a trial, if you're in a sickness, if you're having attacks, if you're dealing with a weakness in the flesh, it's not God's will that you do that. So going to God and asking for him to change it is not going to be effective. Why? He didn't give it, so he can't take it. I said he didn't give it, so he can't take it. But see, on the other hand, people will receive it. They'll receive what the devil gives. They'll receive the doors they'll receive the temptation. They receive it from him. They walk into it. But then what people want is they want to be fixed from their sin. They don't want to experience the effects that the sin brings. But here's the thing. Praise the Lord. God isn't going to change the effects of your sin. He isn't going to do it. I'm going to go somewhere I wasn't planning on going. Where is that scripture? Will you look it up for me? You know what I'm talking about the bronze serpent scripture we've been talking about this week. Praise the Lord. I want to show you something that I never saw. My wife preached a message in court, and she used a scripture, and when she was reading these set of scriptures, I saw something that I had never seen before. Numbers 21. Hallelujah. So let's go to Numbers 21. Start in verse 1. Okay, starting in verse 4. So Numbers 21. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, what would I do without my wife? Hallelujah. I'd be fumbling for a while. okay, Numbers 21, verse 4. Then they journeyed, the Israelites, they journeyed from Mount Hor to the, or by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Now, in context, what you got to understand is God had just led them out of the wilderness, or out of Egypt. Amen. And so he had brought them out of slavery, brought them out of captivity. And so he's bringing them to the promised land. Okay. This is a great, great, wonderful example of what happens in a Christian's life. A person into the church, they don't know, they maybe they've had trials, they've had their tribulation, they've been in their bondage, their slavery. They come into the church and then they start hearing messages about God changing their lives, and they even may start seeing effects of this, and they get excited, and so they start following God and they go out. But then along the way they start getting discouraged, or they start getting bored, or they start getting distracted by all kinds of things. Amen. It's a great and wonderful example. I love it. So they were getting discouraged on the way. Just like you and I, we get discouraged sometimes along the way. We have to keep ourselves in the place of faith. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food or no water, and our soul loathes the worthless bread. They were getting manna from heaven, remember that? And they were tired of the manna because it was bland. And they were just tired of it. God was giving them manna from heaven. He was making food appear every morning, and they were tired of eating it. They wanted the food that they wanted. They didn't want what God had for them. And so they started complaining against it. Praise the Lord. So then the Lord, and now, and we have to understand this, and the Lord, when it says the Lord sent, this it's not that God was attacking the people, but we understand that it's really written in the causative sense that the Lord allows it. The translations aren't perfect, amen? That's why the Bible says to study to show yourself approved. There's not a perfect translation from Hebrew or Greek into English. It's just not there. And so sometimes we are at the knowledge of the translators, we'll say, or the best that they can say it, amen? Praise the Lord. But we know, and we can balance this out. We can know the truth because we balance it out with all the other scripture we know. That said, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Wow. He's like, all right, fine. You don't want my manna? You don't want my blessing? Go ahead and have what you're going to have. And so the serpents come, and they start biting him, right? Praise the Lord. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. They recognized their sin. Why did they recognize their sin? They didn't care until it started hurting, did they? People are dropping dead, and they're like, oh gosh, maybe this ain't good. You know what I mean? Maybe we better get right before the Lord. Pray, and they said to Moses, pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. What did they ask him to do? To take away the serpents. They wanted the effects of the sin gone, right? Right? Praise the Lord. There's more than two people have heard that. I know that. Praise God. So Moses prayed for the people. What a good pastor. Hallelujah. He prayed for the people, even though he told them that this is over time and time again. This is what will happen. This is what will happen. This is what will happen. The people didn't want to listen. The pastor's sitting there saying, this is what's going to happen. The man of God was sitting there. Listen, you got to listen to what I'm telling you, because if you don't change, there's trouble coming. And they didn't listen. They didn't listen. They didn't listen. You'll think that this is the first time they heard Moses. Come on now. But because he loved the people, he went before God and said, because there was one point where Moses said, Lord, the people you give me, either take me away, or I forget what the other option was. But he did ask God to take him out of the picture. You understand? Sometimes it can be frustrating when you're preaching to people and you're like, they're looking at you mad, and they get angry with you, and the only thing you're trying to do is help them, but the whole time they're biting you back. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So it says, so then the Lord said to Moses, verse 8, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it will be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses did this, right? And goes on to tell us that he did it, and then everyone who was bitten looked at the serpent and lived. But this is what I saw that I never saw before in these scriptures. What did the people ask? They asked that the effects of their sin be taken away, right? That the serpents be taken away. What did God say? He said, the serpents are going to still be there. Make a bronze serpent. When you're bitten, you'll live. Now, let me put this in context for you, because this is what I saw. Can you imagine living in an area where there's so many snakes that it's quite likely you'll be bitten? We're not talking about five or six snakes here, folks. We're talking about people who live in a land that is completely saturated with biting serpents that are poisonous. Do you know when a poisonous snake bites, it doesn't feel good. It hurts really, really badly. Yeah. This means that it was very likely that when you went to bed, there could be a serpent in your bed. When you sat on your couch, there could be a serpent on your couch. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm putting this in context. There were snakes everywhere. Yeah. God didn't take the plague of snakes away. He said he took the ultimate effect of it away. He said, you won't die. He said, I'll let you live. But you're going to deal with the sin for a little while. Now, God eventually moved them on and moved them away from the snakes. But you understand that there's a time and place. Sometimes the things, the actions that we do, we will be forced to deal with the actions of what we have done, or the effects of what we have done for a time. Amen? I used to say this to my children. You know, I talked to them a lot. I said, one of the biggest reasons why you don't want to have premarital relations, it's because if you have a child with somebody you don't stay married to, eventually you're going to have to keep dealing with that person, even if you get right. Yeah. And that's exactly what it was. Every holiday. And I did this with my kids. And not because I never tried to turn them against their mother, because we were split up or anything like that. But every holiday that they didn't want to leave because they had to be split up between two different families, every time they didn't want to do that, I would point to my kids and I'd say, this is why you do things right. because then you don't deal with this. Amen? See, that's exactly what I'm saying, is that sometimes you will deal with the effects of your sin for a time. And this is why it's important to close the door. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, when we see God wants us blessed, but He wants us to be knowledgeable first and foremost. He wants us to be to a place where our faith is built, that the attacks don't just whoop us. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if we continue to go back to Egypt, that's what we mean when we say that. If we are continually going back to that land of slavery, then we're going to deal with the effects of that. Amen? Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, whatever you want to call it, praise the Lord. In verse 2:15 says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Praise the Lord. The little foxes are the ones that spoil the vines. It's the little things that are left undone. That's the principle in this scripture. It's the little things that are left undone that will cause you the pain and trouble in your life. It's the little things that you don't take care of. I am not talking about necessarily, it's not about just being perfect and doing everything perfectly. But when you know to do something, when you know something's wrong and you don't change it, that's a little door that you can leave open for the devil. The devil is looking for any foothold, and we're going to see that here in a minute. Amen? Praise the Lord. What you leave undone will undo you. I wanted to share examples that I've heard from other ministers. I may have even shared these before. But Reverend Greer, you know Reverend Greer, I think it was him that had mentioned this. But he said, you know, if you start in New York and you're on an airplane and you're 1 degree off, it's not that much when you're in New York. But if you're heading to California, he said, by the time you get to the other coast, he said, 1 degree off, you'll either be, you know, down in Mexico or up in Canada. That's how much it matters. See, in the beginning, 1 degree doesn't seem like a whole lot, does it? In the beginning, you think, well, 1 degree, it's not that much at all. But when you span that out over time, over distance, and that's the same thing with it is with something that we leave undone. If we know to fix something and we don't fix it, if we hear the word week in and week out but don't do it, what we're doing is we're leaving that degree off. But as we continue in life, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I've also heard it said that rat poisoning, like pretty much like 99% or 98%, something like that, of rat poison is completely won't do anything to you. Yeah. It won't hurt you. But that 1% is enough to kill you. And see, it's the same way, it's the same example. It's that little tiny bit. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. See, if we don't take care of these things in our life right, if we don't do them correctly, then down the road they will be our undoing. It may not seem like a big deal right now. It may not seem like a big deal to you to, you know, I was saying this to my wife. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was saying it to her this morning. Because I don't know why this was so much on my heart. I hadn't even come to church yet. I didn't know who would be here or who wouldn't be here. So it wasn't even that. But I said to my wife, I was like, you know, it boggles my mind. People who come to God and it's like they can be so casual about just missing a service. Or missing multiple services. So casual about it, like it doesn't matter. Like I have become aware, so aware in my life, that every service I can be in, I possibly can, that I do my very best to do it. We even schedule our vacations around services. Praise the Lord. Why? Because what would happen if I didn't show up? Amen? But you know, see, that's the thing. People don't believe that they bring something to church. People don't believe that they have a part to play in that. So you bring something when you come. You should be, anyways. I mean, listen, if you're a new person the first time in, you know, you might not be bringing a whole lot. You may be needing some more. And that's what church is for, amen? We're here for the people that need stuff. But listen, if you've been in church for 6 months, if you've been in church for a year and you're still a drain, you know what I mean, a drain is? It's all about you. Everything comes to you, right? If that's the way that you live, then you haven't got it yet. And see, what the problem with this is because we make those changes, we don't make those adjustments, we continually live like babes. You know, Paul rebuked some people for that. He said, you should be onto the meat, but you still have to be fed with milk. See, the reason that churches don't have growth that they should, and when I mean growth, I mean the amount that they reach, is because people aren't doing, Christians are perpetually staying in this place of being babies. Feed me, feed me, feed me. It's all about me. Instead of eating themselves, amen? And we have to grow past that. We have to be people that get out of that, amen? We don't want to be those, we don't want to allow those one percenters. Praise God. Now turn with me to 1 Peter 5:8. And we're going to see here exactly what I'm talking about. 1 Peter 5:8. Towards back of your Bible. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:8. We're going to read through verse 10. Glory to God. Bible says, the Word of God says, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit agrees, came from God the Father. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. Now, in context, this is talking about a mindset. Be sober in your mind. Think soberly. Think clearly. Think rightly. Amen? So a lot of people, but this word actually also applies to intoxication, praise the Lord, of any kind, whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be whatever. Intoxicating things do not allow you to be sober. And when you're not sober, you don't think clearly. And when you don't think clearly, you leave a door open for the devil. Be vigilant. Vigilant, you know, somebody who's vigilant is constantly going after it. They're constantly, my wife is a vigilant cleaner. Amen? I'm telling you right now, two nights ago, I think it was, I decided I wanted a bowl of cereal. It was a bowl of cereal. I decided I want a small bowl of cereal. So I sit down with my bowl of cereal in the living room, and I put my bowl of cereal there, and I eat it, praise the Lord, and I finish it, and I put the spoon in the bowl, and I lay down on the couch, because I'm going to watch me a video or something, right? My wife gets up, she picks up the bowl, takes it to the kitchen sink. I almost said something, but I didn't because I just didn't want to get up. Amen. But my wife is vigilant, a vigilant cleaner. Amen. She's after it. She cannot stand mess so much so that even if it inconveniences her, even though it's not right that it inconveniences her, she's still going to take care of it. Amen. Sometimes I use etiquette to my advantage, as I did that night. But no, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? Well, I do a little bit once in a while, yeah. But you understand, vigilance is something you're just after. She's not going to allow that because she knows. First it's a bowl, then it's a plate, and then it's a cup, and then it's your clothes, and it's your socks, and it's your towels, and then it's everything. And pretty soon, you have a house that looks like a disaster. Looks like my wife doesn't like a house that looks like a disaster. I'm telling you, what my wife considers a mess, that's probably what most people live in more than that, like as a mess. What my wife considered, I look like, this ain't a mess. This looks great. She's like, you didn't have somebody over in this, did you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you understand, so there's vigilance. Vigilance is important. And the Bible says here, be sober, be vigilant. Clearly think about it. Clearly think about what you're doing, your actions. Listen, it's not about feeling condemned. But it is about saying, listen, I need to think about what I do in my own life. I need to consider these things. Amen? Praise the Lord. And it says, why do we do that? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's not saying that he's going to devour everybody. He's seeking whom he may devour. The devil's looking for opportunity. Don't leave a door open. Don't leave a foothold for him. The devil is looking for an opportunity to devour you in your life. And he is going to take anything that you give him. Yeah. If it's that much, he's going to take it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But see, this is the thing. A lot of people, it's not that much. A lot of people, it's this much. Right. I mean, we gotta be serious about this. Some people think, oh, you're just being harsh. No, we got to be serious. We got to. The Bible says to crucify the flesh. Crucifying the flesh is not something that sounds enjoyable. The effects of crucifying the flesh, though, will be enjoyable. Yeah. This is the thing that people don't get. When you stay out of sin, your life is happier. It's way happier. The reason my wife and I live such a great life together, the reason we love each other so greatly, is because we try to stay vigilant at keeping sin out of our lives. We're not perfect at it. Don't get me wrong, we're not perfect at it. But we have become more perfect than we were 10 years ago. Amen? I was telling my boy last night, I was giving him an example of these arguments that I used to get into all the time. That I wouldn't get into today. I would spend hours in these screaming matches with this person. Hours in screaming matches. And then at the end of the argument, every single time I came to the same conclusion. They're nuts. There's nothing I'm going to say that no matter how loud I yell it, no matter what I say, no matter how many facts, no matter how many people that I have backing me up, it doesn't matter. They're nuts. They're never going to get it. But you want to know what's crazy? I was nuts for going back and keep arguing with them. Yeah. I won't do that anymore. See, I learned something.
Yeah.
I learned that it was like, listen, I'll just do that, be bit, and I don't want to deal with that. So now I just nod, smile, and be happy. Amen? Hallelujah. I just, you know, sometimes you just got to know things to yourself and not share it with everybody. Amen? But I don't want to leave a foothold. And see, the thing is, the devil will use opportunities like to get into your life and cause discord in your life and cause heartache in your life and to cause you to be in a lack of peace and not at rest, because the devil doesn't want you to rest, but God's word always leads us to rest. That's why the anti-sin message is so effective, if you listen to it, because it leads you to a place of rest, peace, prosperity, health, joy. Hallelujah. Is there anyone that don't like any of these things? That's what God's word leads us to. That's what a sinless life leads us to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Then what does verse 9 say? Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. First of all, you cannot resist the devil if you don't have faith. Because how do you resist him? Steadfast in the faith. What is the faith? It's building the word of God in you to the point where the devil comes knocking. You know how to deal with it. But see, people don't do that. They don't spend time with God. They don't spend time learning. They don't spend time hearing. And because they don't, what happens is when the devil comes to seeking whom he may devour, he eats your stinking lunch. Because all you've been doing is, you know, it's been, listen, praise the Lord. Glory. Sporting events are with kids are absolutely amazing to me. It used to be that you could be partake in a sport and it wouldn't take every single day of your life. Listen, we don't do anything that takes every day of our lives, except unless it's following God. But you see this so rampant, and you know why? I have seen people leave churches because it was more important for them to have their kids in sports than it was for them to be in church. Guess what happens when they leave? When the devil comes to eat their lunch? Listen, we can pray for people like that. We pray for the knowledge to come to them, but I'm going to tell you the truth. If people knowingly reject the word for something like that, God isn't going to swoop in and just change everything. Look what he did with the children of Israel. He just saved the whole lot of them. Yeah. Saved them out of Egypt. He sent his amazing miracles to save them. Yeah. And then he let them die by the vipers, by the snakes. Yeah. Why? Because they chose something worse. Listen, this God is the same God today. He loves us. He's for us. Yeah. He wants to help us. But if you reject God because something's more important, I'm here to tell you. Listen, you're going to feel the effects of that. And it isn't going to be comfortable. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants to help us. We need to close those doors. Hallelujah. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Hallelujah. This is what God does to people who resist the devil. Steadfast in the faith. But people who don't resist the devil, do you know what resistance is? You know, if you're lifting weights, when you're pushing that weight, if you're doing some bench presses, hallelujah, and you're pressing that weight back up, that's resistance. It's pushing back against it. It's trying to come down, and you're saying, no, you're going back up. Praise the Lord. What does it do? It builds muscles. Amen? How do I know that? Because they have them in every gym. And I always see big people doing it. You know what I mean? That's what they're doing. They're lifting weights of some sort. What are they doing? They're putting resistance against their body so they can grow their body, so they can build their body, so they can be stronger. Yeah. And what do? Inevitably, if you keep doing that, eventually you lift greater weights and greater weights and greater weights. Hallelujah. It keeps, you know, you keep growing. That's exactly what God's saying do. Resist the devil. But what a lot of people do, what so many people do, is the devil comes in, he comes knocking, knock, knock, knock. This is what I want to do in your life. You know, he doesn't come that plainly. But maybe he comes to you with a bottle of alcohol. Maybe he comes to you with a joint. Maybe he comes to you with a hot person. Yeah. Maybe he comes to you with some, whatever it is, he's going to come to you wherever your weakness is. Yeah. And if you have many weaknesses, he's going to come in all of them. And sometimes he may come with all of them at once. Amen? But he's going to come knocking. And then what you do is your job is resist. But see, people who haven't had any faith built in them, they can't resist. They just take it upon themselves. How do I know? I live there. But when the word got put into me, I started pushing back. I started pushing back. Amen. When I quit smoking, amen. I used to be a heavy smoker. And I love to smoke. I'm just telling you, I was up to almost three packs a day at one time. But when I quit smoking, it wasn't my first time I tried. It was probably my 50th time I tried. But you know what I did? I kept going back to it. I would say, I'm going to try again, and I'm going to try again, and I'm going to try again. And it's the same thing with losing weight now. I lost a bunch of weight once. I put it all back on plus. But you know what? I'm working at getting it off again. Why? Because this is something I know is bad in my body. Listen, eating isn't bad. Eating is enjoyable. It's a wonderful thing, and eating isn't wrong. Amen. But if it's ruling your body, then it is wrong. And so what do? I resist against that. I stand in faith, and I use everything I have to resist against that. And even if I have little victories, it's better than nothing, but I'm pushing towards that. But see, it's the people that just let it all go. You know, it's the people that just stop resisting. Listen, if you're not resisting things in your life that are bad, what you're doing is you're opening the door to the devil to come in and wreak havoc. Yeah, absolutely, and he will. But you know, this is the thing. It's like God wants you healed, but if you're doing things that cause sickness in your body or cause disease in your body or cause, different things like that in your body, you can't, like I can't eat sticks of butter all day long and then be surprised if I have high cholesterol. And I certainly can't pray to God that he's going to take the high cholesterol away, because it ain't going to happen. It just isn't going to work that way. Amen. It doesn't work that way. I'm just using examples. You can apply it to any example in your life. Amen. If you're having a hard time, if there's something on TV that you shouldn't be watching, but you always find yourself, you're going to have to crucify the flesh and put it down and start resisting that thing. Because as long as you allow it in your life, what you're doing is you open the door wide for the devil. He's coming in, and you're wondering why he's wreaking havoc in your life. I can't even pray. Listen, this is the thing. Prayer is not to cover your stupidity. That's not what it's for. You know what I'm saying? If you're living wrong, prayer isn't going to fix it. You can't fix it. That's what prayer's for. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What fixes the stupidity is the resistance against the devil. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where were we? We were in 1 Peter 5:8. I think my page flipped there. We read it all. Hallelujah. Job 1:7. I want to just pull this up. We reference the book of Job a lot. Praise the Lord. But I wanted to bring it up and show you. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Now, in context, what we know about this part of Scripture, it tells us around there that Satan and the angels and they came before God. Amen. And the Lord spoke to Satan, and he said, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." What do you think that Satan was doing? 1 Peter 5 tells us. He was seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for opportunity in your life. That's exactly what he was doing. He was walking back. Why does Satan walk back and forth on the earth? He is looking for anybody who will give him an open door. Why? Because the devil is trying to destroy humanity. He doesn't want you to live. He doesn't want you to make it. If he had the power to just take it, he would. But what he does is he gets people deceived, gets them thinking that, well, this is my thought. This is why our society today is so completely dangerous. Because when you teach people that what they think is okay, whatever they think is okay, what you do is you open the realm of the devil. You just made it this huge. Because what you do is you say, you're essentially telling people that no, there's no thoughts that you need to resist. Whatever thought comes in, this is why people get trapped into things like homosexuality. Not because it's of God, but because the thought comes in, because the desire comes in, and some people are prone to that. Listen, that's just an attack. It's no different than if somebody, a homosexual is no different than somebody who was out there fornicating. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about being with somebody of the opposite sex. But they're doing it and they're not married. It's just as wrong. It's just as wrong. It doesn't matter. It's just as wrong. You are in the same par with a homosexual if that's what you do. Drunkenness is on the same par with homosexuality, with fornication, with adultery, cheating on a spouse. The same par. Liars are in that same place. Listen, it's all there. God, the people who practice those things cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is why we rail against it, because I don't want people to end up in hell. Listen, I may make you a little bit uncomfortable on a Sunday morning sometimes, but listen, it's a lot less uncomfortable than sitting in hell for eternity is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. The devil said from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it, pacing back and forth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is looking for opportunity in your life. And if you give them the door, if you give him the opportunity, he's going to take it. I said he's going to take it. Praise the Lord. He'll do it through all kinds of ways. He'll do it, parents, the devil will do it through children. He will try to get children to run the parents' lives, and that's exactly what happens today. What happened to where parents would stand up and say no, for God's sakes? Yeah, I'm just saying, sometimes you just need to tell your kids no. It's not all about them. Life isn't all about them. Amen. My wife and I, we were instructing some people, right? We said, listen, you'll have your children for about 20 years, give or take a few. But eventually, it's just going to be you and your spouse. If you built your life around your children, you aren't going to be very happy when, you know what I'm saying? You can't do that. You got to build their life right, amen? You got to do things right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We don't want people devoured. We don't want people just falling continually. Listen, problem that I ever hear, whether I sit in getting my hair cut, you know, whenever I'm in somewhere public, that's a place where I hear a lot of, you know, stuff's going on, you know, people are dealing with this or people are dealing with that, it's kind of thing, you know. But no, it doesn't matter where I'm at, every single problem I ever hear is real simple to fix. It's real simple. I have not had a meeting yet where I've had a problem presented to me that's not easy to fix. And it all comes back down to one thing, doing the word. Doing the word. Sometimes you don't know the word and you need help with that. And that's what I'm here for. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. But see, a lot of people, they think their problem is so huge, and it's not. It's real simple. It's always back to that. Do what God said to do. Amen? If you don't do what God says to do, then you open the door for the devil. God's grace does not cover us so that we can do whatever we want to do. God's grace was to cover us when we couldn't do something. You understand? That's the difference between the true grace message and the evil devil-filled grace message. The devil-filled grace message, which has snuck its way into the church, is you do whatever you want to do, then you pray to God for forgiveness, and it'll be all done. That's garbage. It's bunk. That is such a load of garbage, I want to swear it so bad. I'm just telling you, real. Hallelujah. It's just nasty garbage. I mean, I don't know if there's dirty enough words for it in the Christian language. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth. Yeah. I'm not trying to be crude or rude or anything like that. I'm just telling you the truth. Yeah. It's garbage. Yeah. You can't just do whatever you want and expect things are going to be okay. They're not. I'm going to tell you they're not. Right. You can't live the way you want to live. I wrote this thing down last night. I was going to put it on a picture and post it somewhere just to be, you know. But I wrote, like, it was a conversation between man and God. And man comes to God and says, Lord, bless my plan. And God, you know what? Oh, I don't have my phone on me. That's all right. I probably have it right here. Let me just pull it up. You mind if I pull it up? Praise the Lord. Yeah, man says to God, Lord, bless my plan. And God says to man, you know, I never thought of it your way. Sure, or sure could have used you when I created everything. This is the foolishness of the world. People come to God and they're like, Lord, this is what I want to do. This is how I want life to be, and this is what I want to see in my life. Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord has plans. He has plans. Find his plan. Your plan don't matter. Why? Because your plan took you to hell before. That's where it was taking you before. Man's plans, there's many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, it's the Lord's counsel that will stand. Your plans took you straight to the devil, straight to hell. I said, your plans took you straight to hell. Your plans don't matter. They're not good. I don't care how good of a person you were. Praise the Lord. That was Proverbs 19:21, by the way. But you understand, see, people, they do that all the time. I've talked to Christians. They just live their life thinking that God has put them here to just bounce around and figure out their life. That's what a lot of Christians think. I'm just telling you the truth. God did not just put you here to bounce around and figure out what life is all about. He told you what life is all about. He told you what to do. He said, get in his plan so you can have the direction. Amen? Yeah, because there's Christians out there just living, yeah, I'm a Christian. What do you do to prove it? What do you do to show it? How does your Christianity proven by your actions? A lot of people, you wouldn't know. There's a lot of people, they don't look any different than anyone in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, that's why I like devices that sync, because I wrote that on my phone. My phone's in my office, but my iPad's right here. So, praise the Lord. Praise God. God made Apple. Hallelujah. You know, he had to inspire it anyways. There's something so cool, couldn't have come from the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So, anyway, 2 Corinthians, I want to share this one with you too. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Look at it up here for time's sake. Lest Satan should have or should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, this is a man of God talking. He's saying, now, I'm not going to let Satan take advantage of us because we are not ignorant of his devices. Probably a high percentage, 80% or more of the church today are ignorant of the devil's devices. They have no idea what he does. They have no idea how he operates. How do I know? Because I talk to Christians. I talk to pastors. I talk to pastors that don't know. And I know if the pastor doesn't know, then I know every person that sits in their church doesn't know. Amen. This is the truth. I'm just giving you the truth. Praise the Lord. They're ignorant of the devil's devices. They are blaming God for what the devil does. And just in that alone tells you they know nothing about what the devil does and what God does. They know nothing about it. Anybody who will tell you that God has made you sick or wants you sick or is trying to teach you a lesson through you being sick, I'm just telling you this is what people believe. And of course, you don't believe that because you've been here and I've been spouting off about it for a long time. But you understand, this. We got to see things right. Yeah. Because there are, you know, again, Hosea 6 tells us, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's because they're ignorant of the devil's devices. They don't know what the devil is doing. They can't see him operating. Praise God. Yeah. People making decisions based on what they want. And not based on, you know, the truth. The people are like, they'll make decisions about moving, but they won't even consider, does God want me to go? They won't even ask that question. You ask them, is there church? Well, I don't know, I figured I'd find a church when I got down there. Well, see, you have no clue what church is for and what the purpose of it in your life is for. You're ignorant of the devil's devices. You're ignorant of it. You don't even see that he's knocking on your door. He's getting you to move away. People will follow. They will follow. They'll follow a spouse or somebody who they hope to be a spouse. They will follow jobs. They will follow everything that has absolutely zero promise to it except the Word of God. The Word of God is promise after promise after promise. What did I say that one day? I read that there was 17,000 promises in Scripture to God's people. 17,000. Right? Isn't that what I said? Somewhere around there. Thousands of promises in the Scripture. And people follow things that are no more solid than, I don't know, praise God, something that's not solid. Yeah, unfrozen water. Then Chautauqua Lake. Hallelujah. They sink just like that. Why? Because they just don't. And it's not even because they can't. It's because they choose not to. Because I know people that will refuse to hear the word because they don't want to, and then they'll try, you know, they come up with ways of justifying it. 2 Corinthians 10, turn with me there. Amen. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 10. Praise the Lord. See, what I'm teaching you will help you, it will change your life if you let it. And well, I'm just telling you, it did for us. We fought it. We were those people that were ignorant of the devil's devices. We fought it and fought it and fought it. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:3, we'll read through verse 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Though we walk, that basically walk is living. You spend time living in the flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. Our battle, our struggles, the fights that we deal with, they are not fleshly struggles. They're spiritual. They're not fleshly struggles. They're spiritual. Even if you're dealing with the flesh in the sense that you struggle in this area, maybe you struggle with premarital sex. Maybe that's an area that you struggle in. Well, you're not struggling with the flesh. It's spiritual in nature. And as long as you deny that, you're being ignorant and you're remaining ignorant of the devil's devices. As long as you struggle with the substance, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're struggling with the substance, it's the same thing. It's not the flesh. It's spiritual in nature. You're not dealing with the spiritual the area in your life. All you're doing is trying to do it in the flesh. Now listen, you're not going to do it if you just try it in the flesh. Goes on to say, for our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not of the body, of the flesh. Amen? But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So the weapons that we have to fight this war that's very real. Okay, so our battle, whatever we're dealing with, everybody say, everything I'm dealing with is not the flesh, it's the spirit. Hallelujah. So everything you're dealing with is not the flesh, it's the spirit. It's a spiritual issue. If you build your spirit, you won't deal with the flesh as much. Amen? Okay, so though you walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, so we know the battle is not in the flesh, and if the battle is in the flesh, then the weapons can't be in the flesh either. Amen? Amen. This is why programs don't work. They may start to help, but they don't work. They don't continually keep people. The Word of God changes people when they allow it to get in them. But only in those that allow it to get in them. Listen, you can't change unless you allow the Word of God. If you refuse to allow the Word of God to work in you, it doesn't mean that the Word of God doesn't work. It means you wouldn't work it. It means you wouldn't allow it. Amen? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now it's going to tell us what these strongholds are. This is very important. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm going to stop there. Everything that exalts itself, that says this is better than the knowledge of God. The Bible says, and I'm just going to lump them all together, the knowledge of God says don't sin. So anything that says sin, whatever it is, you pick your sin, you pick your flavor, you pick what you struggle with, you pick the areas you're dealing with. Anything that says that is exalting itself above the knowledge of God. Oh, you can do this, it's fine. You can justify this. You can justify it. Listen, I said this before about coming to church. Don't come to me and justify why you're not here. If you're justified in not being here, then you be justified. But don't try to justify it to me because I ain't going to hear it. You cannot justify to somebody who goes to church a minimum of 3 times a week. You cannot justify them why it's hard to get there. You can't justify to somebody who's as busy as I am why you can't have time to get to church. You can't do it because my family has been an incredibly busy family for years, and we've been going to church over week after week after. You can't justify it to me, so don't try. Because like I said, I'll smile and nod, but the whole time I'm thinking the exact thing I've always told you. You can't tell me why you weren't here. Now listen, I've said before, and I've thrown this out there, don't be in bondage. I got to be there every single time. I can never take a vacation. I can never go anywhere. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm like, if you want your stinking life to change, then you got to do the things that change it. See, this is what I'm saying about to my wife, because when I realize if I haven't been in church for one service, I feel it in my body. I feel it in my mind. Things start not working right. Things start not going right. You wonder why it's not working out? Because you haven't been getting fed the Word of God. Yeah. You can't not get fed and still live, can you? If you stop eating, are you going to go out there? How are you going to be? No. You're not going to be very good, are you? No, but the same thing with your spirit. The weapons of your warfare are not, they're spiritual. They're not carnal. And so when you don't feed the Spirit, you start to die. It starts to die. It weakens. You become ignorant of the devil's devices. I can't even get through these scriptures. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. Help you. Listen, people, I love you all. And that's why I do it. This is why I preach like this. This is why I preach the truth, because I love you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Listen, I have thoughts about it too. I have thoughts I don't want to do it. That was just a few weeks ago. We were on our way to Corey, and I had this thought come to me. It's like, I don't want to go. I was about to turn my truck around. That's how strong the thought was. Things weren't hunky-dory in the moment. I wasn't feeling happy. I wasn't feeling like a pastor. I wasn't feeling like going to preach. But I made it there. Why? Because that thought wasn't obedience to Christ. Christ says, I got to do what I got to do. If I want the blessing of God, listen, the blessing of God to me is not me getting blessed. The blessing of God to me is to go and see people's lives change. The most important thing to me, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when you've lived so beat up by the devil, When you live where the devil has just run your life and has destroyed you and has brought you to that place where you want to take your own life, when the devil will bring you to that place and you learn the truth and you find out that you didn't have to live there, and then I look out there and I see people that are living in that same place, I'm telling you what, that's what drives me. Because I'm not letting that stinking devil have any more ground. I'm not giving that devil nothing. I don't want him to have any more lives. And so I will fight, and I will yell, and I will scream, and I will dance, and I will shout as much as I have to until every single person that I am here to reach gets saved, gets helped, and gets their lives changed, and gets into the blessing of God. That's the blessing that I desire. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm telling you something. Nice houses, vacations, all that stuff, that's fine. That's great stuff. Well, that's wonderful. But I'm going to tell you, the one thing I've learned is none of that stuff fulfills you. It doesn't fulfill me, and it never will. Why? Because that is not the blessing of God. The true blessing of God is when you see lives change. When God uses you for something. When you stand before the Lord. When God comes in. I'm going to tell you what happened this morning was so precious to me. Nothing like it on earth. I would give everything in my life to experience 5 minutes of what I started to experience. Everything. Because God is just that awesome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God wants us set free. But we have to bring the thought, is that thought obedient to Christ? Does it line up with Scripture? No. Then you cast it down in the name of Jesus. That's where it starts. Praise the Lord. But if you surround yourself with people that speak wrong things all the time, guess what? Your thoughts are, you're going to accept those thoughts. If you surround yourself with music, if you surround yourself with movies, if you surround yourself with books, if you surround yourself with whatever that's constantly speaking negative things, those things, how do we know that? Look at what this whole nation has done. This whole nation, in a matter of a few years, because of what the loudest people are saying, have accepted completely foolish things. I remember 10 years ago, it wasn't even 10 years ago, that I remember the first idea of a man using a woman's bathroom came out, and everybody was horrified by this prospect. They're horrified by it. There's no way. Today they're making it laws. Why? Because people are shouting, and then people are listening, and the devil's getting that door. They're talking about doing it in schools. Praise the Lord. The day, I'm telling you, the day that my daughter has to share a bathroom with a man is the last day she goes to that place. The last day. My daughter will not share a bathroom with anyone who's twisted in the mind. I'm telling you that right now. And then that's what it is. And it's not because I hate that person, but I am not gonna sacrifice my daughter's life for the feelings of some pervert. You know what a pervert is? It's somebody whose mind has been perverted by untruth. It's not insulting. It's what it is. But see, if there's not somebody calling it that, I'm just going to tell, man, I'll just wipe the slate clean right now. We'll just get into some stuff. Hallelujah. This whole free love kind of thing. Oh, yeah, you think that's really great? Well, how good is it? Look at the disease among homosexual men and tell me that that's a good thing. Look at the death rate among homosexual men and tell me that that's a good thing. Praise the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm preaching a lot better than your amen. And hallelujah. I tell you that right now. Glory to God. I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, we gotta be right about things. We gotta think right. We gotta close those doors. See, that's why churches, when they open the doors of that garbage, then all kinds of everything goes. Amen. We're gonna close in these scriptures. Ephesians. Gotta find where they are. Here it is. Ephesians 6:11. Ephesians 6:11. Glory to God. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There it is right there. The armor of God protects you against the devil's devices. The armor of God is his truth. And we're going to read about it all here in a minute. But it's everything that God... See, every time you take a piece of armor off, you expose yourself to whatever attack is coming. Amen? It's just the truth. Take a helmet off, you expose your head to all kinds of stuff. It's just the way that it is. Amen? You take your breastplate off, you expose your vitals to whatever attack is coming there. Amen? Hallelujah. Finally, where were we? Verse 11. We want to stand against wiles of the devil. For we do not, here we see it again, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I'm going to make this real simple for you. Your fight is not against people. When you deal with somebody, my fight isn't against you. My fight is against spirits that are trying to control you. Your fight is not, when you got that person that's just nasty to you, it's just, this is why God told you to forgive and love. Because it's not them doing it. Now, that doesn't mean that you become a doormat for everybody and just let everybody do whatever they want in your life. That's foolishness. But what it is saying is that you got to have forgiveness for people. You got to give people room to grow. You have to give people room to get it. Amen? Hallelujah. Even people that are nasty to you. Especially people that are nasty to you. Amen? I remember getting in an argument with this man once in the coffee shop about God. And I mean, it was just vile nasty. He was just, I mean, he was, and then everybody joined with him. I was just hanging out with a bunch of left-wing nuts, amen? This is the truth. This is the way we were. They all hated God. God haters. You know what I mean? Homosexual loving God haters. That's what they'll hate you, and they'll say that's okay, but they love everybody, right? Yeah. But at any rate, so they were sitting there arguing with me, yelling at me, and every call. And this one guy was just particularly nasty. You know, that man ended up getting saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when I heard he got saved, I was like, glory to God. Amen. Do you know I instantly went from somebody that I hated to somebody I loved, and it taught me something. If that man could change, there ain't nobody that can't change. Listen, don't you ever say that somebody can't change, because you say that, you just put the curse on their life. Don't be a fool like that. You want to see somebody in heaven, you know that they can change. Why? Because the Word of God says they can change. The word, it's in their mouth. Praise God. It's in their mouth, I said. They can change. They can change. They will change. You say it, you speak it right. Amen? Praise the Lord. But if that man can change, anybody can change. But that's why you also need to forgive, because that person that's your enemy might just end up being your brother or sister in the faith. And you got to spend eternity with them. Amen? And I'll just tell you what, if you won't let it go here and God lets you into heaven, he probably can give you a house right next to him. And you got to deal with him in eternity. So you know, I'm just saying. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. The whole armor. Don't leave any piece unhitched. Amen? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, the word of God, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, thinking in line with the word of God, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, preparing yourself in the word of God. Hallelujah. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which guess what? You build faith by? Hearing what? The word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Kind of something, you know what I mean? Bringing every thought in captivity. Hallelujah. Where was I? What verse? 16, yeah. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. All of them. Faith is what kills it all. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. You know what the sword of the Spirit is? It tells us right there, the word of God. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, praying for one another. Amen. In every way possible. And for me, the utterance may be, you pray for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I'm an ambassador in chains. What does that mean? I am bound to this, to do this work. I'm bound to it. I ain't leaving it. I can't leave it. My whole life is attached to it. Do you know if I stop serving God, I'll die early. I'm just telling you, that's what happens to a pastor that's called to be a pastor and stop serving God. I'll die early. That's exactly what will happen. So I have a choice. I have a choice to serve God or die early. I don't want to die early. I want to go to heaven, but I want to do some things here too. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. I hope you saw something today. So we're going to close the door. We're not going to keep those doors open. And if you need help closing the doors, listen. You got brothers and sisters in the faith. You got a pastor. Pastors that walk with you. We'll help you close those doors. Rely on one another. That's what the church is supposed to do, right? Praise the Lord. Chris will help you out. Right? I know she will. Praise the Lord. Melinda will help you out. Amen. I just go right down through the line here to find somebody to help you out. Praise the Lord. Because there's a whole bunch of them. Amen. Praise God.